All right, well, let's pray. Father, we certainly we just appreciate you putting us into communities and to having us the ability to care for each other and to pray and share the joys and share the trials. And it's very sobering to hear these kinds of things. It's just very real life. And so we just pray for all of these matters, Lord, and pray for the body of Christ in these different situations that that we would share and that we would serve and that people around these situations would serve and glorify you and be just a light to the world about how we care for each other. But often really, really difficult and I'm sure feeling hopeless times when these things are, when they hit. And so we pray for supernatural peace. We know it comes from you. And, we do, we would of course pray for the missions conference and for our dinner coming up and for the missionary sharing here for raising the money that is needed to get your gospel out to the areas that you've given us opportunities. We thank you so much for that. It's a dynamic that you have let be a part of this church and kept our heart pretty vibrant about that. And thank you for that. Lord, thank you for our time together. Just thank you for your word and the opportunity to build a community around caring, around love, and around your word. I pray as I talk today, as we look at a scripture, that it would be rich for us and that you would open the eyes of our hearts and enlighten us about the hope that you've given. And I pray that in Christ's name. Amen. Hey guys, well, it's good to be back. I missed a couple of weeks, a little sickness. Apparently at this stage in life, there's no such thing as like a 2-day cold and you just get back to it. It in my case went into other stuff. And so anyway, I was supposed to be splitting this quarter with Tim. He was teaching Ephesians. I was teaching Psalms. And then I taught one Sunday and immediately went on to injured reserve. And so Tim graciously taught that we had a great missionary last week, but I have missed being here. I do not like when I'm not here, enjoy the class. And so, anyway, gonna be teaching, you know, now I had one Sunday left to teach. That's today. And, 150 Psalms. So I had to go, okay. But, so what my whole thought all along was to follow up on what Tim taught from Ephesians and the verse that he was focusing on that he wanted us to focus on and meditate, Ephesians 1:18. So let me look and just kind of start with Ephesians before we get to back to Psalms. All right. This is just neat. Ephesians 1, I'm going to start at 17. And it says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation for this purpose, so that you may know him better. I pray also the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That whole section, and that has been my, when Tim was teaching that, I'm thinking the eyes of our heart to be opened to the hope. And so the concept of hope and just the riches of his glorious inheritance, it makes me think, some of y'all know Ben May. Ben was in our class years ago. He's in a group that started a church in Homewood. But we used to kid around about this. Kept telling him I was going to write a book. If I have riches in Christ, why can't I pay my mortgage? It's like, you know, is the resources that we know we have in Christ. How do we make them our own? How do we live with them? How do they help us? And so the same concept there with hope. If I have hope, how does it make actual difference in the challenges that I face? And we've just now heard all these prayer requests and so many challenges to hope. And so that's what I want to talk about. My last Sunday on Psalms, but there's a Psalm we're going to look at that has a good section in it about hope. Okay. The need for hope. It's kind of hard to, you know, hope is that word. We're like, well, I really hope, you know, I really hope that Alabama would have won yesterday, but that didn't. It's a lot of prayer. Yeah. There's a whole wall of prayer from this class, but it's not that kind of hope. Does anybody have like a definition of Christian hope that they like? Okay. Interesting. Yeah. So, what Jim's saying, hope is a positive. I can see you're saying it's a negative in that sense of, there's nothing I can do about it, so I just hope. It's like they say, hope is not a strategy. In the Christian worldview, it's positive. Here we'll talk more about it, but it's an optimistic, but a positive view of the future, that the future is going to, it's under control and it's going to turn out well. And so, been going through stuff from my parents, boxes of stuff. Mom died in September. She had just boxes of stuff. It's really funny. At some point, I'm going to show you some pictures. I couldn't pull it off today. We were trying to, they're very funny pictures of me and my family, but, dad had lots of military stuff. One thing I've been having so much fun with, I didn't even know he had this, is a diary. It's just a lined notebook that he had on his aircraft carrier in World War II. I didn't know it existed. And it has one sentence things on a line. It'll be literally like, participated in raids off Iwo Jima, participated in raids off Peleliu, names that you've heard, Marianas, page after page. And then at the end it says, or near the end, he says, in Tokyo Bay, peace, big word, peace. And, the interesting thing, just militarily or historically, that was on, I think, August 15th of 45, August 13th and 14th. They're still raiding Tokyo. They're bombing. His planes are bombing Tokyo because they didn't trust that it was going to be peace. He's got it in one of these books. They remember that the Japanese were negotiating peace on December 7th. You know, they were in Washington, D.C. on December 7th, 41, so Pearl Harbor. So they didn't trust that that was going to happen. This is a total aside. I'm just telling y'all because it's just fascinating to read this 20-year-old kid, their ship was hit by a kamikaze. They were hit by the second kamikaze ever, right off of the Battle of Leyte Gulf. And they lost 100 sailors on his ship. Just the sentence. So just deep, fascinating stuff. So, I've been mesmerized by it, but he had Jeff Flanagan, I'll always think of you. Years ago, Dad was teaching our class. Dad would quote these military strategists and all the way back to Sun Tzu, right? A lot of people, but there was a strategist he liked, B.H. Liddell Hart, but a quote that Dad would use is, loss of hope rather than loss of life is what decides the issues of war. And you have to kind of think about that. But it sounds such like spiritual warfare. Because if we lose hope that God will be there in the future for us, and that we will have exactly what we need, maybe not what we think we need, but we will have exactly what we need in the future, we lose heart. And there's so many scriptures that specifically encourage us with the words, do not lose heart, do not lose hope. Some of them say that very thing. So before I get into the psalm, I like to hear from y'all, and I have not tried to dwell on the idea that at our age, what what is the challenges, what are the hopes? But again, as I told y'all weeks ago, my cardiologist, the fact that I have one, tells you something. But when I told him, you know, up until a couple of years ago, I just never got sick. And he goes, hey, if you had a 67-year-old car, would you expect it to break down? Like, thank you, Mr. Bedside Manner. But some of us, it's just, I mean, it doesn't matter where you are in life. You are having challenges to hope, but certain times in life have different things. So what, I don't need a list of ailments, but what kind of things are challenges to us, to you, for keeping hope about your life?
Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, as we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So just hope takes you beyond the afflictions or suffering, but where you are, be able to look for the future. And God is the God of hope, and it's the Holy Spirit within us. So
right.
To me, it's just full of encouragement.
And it takes us beyond. Now, that's a great way to put it. Other challenges that make us, yes, Carol.
In the past, which changes everything about my
present. That's really a joyful expectation of the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
Send that.
I find it, what pictures I was going to show you at some point, I've run across a bunch of pictures of me and my siblings when I'm like 5, 7, 8. I'm sitting there, some of y'all know my sister. She's always sitting there smiling, happy, and I'm serious. And I'm not looking at the camera. I'm looking in the distance. I'm like scanning for threats. And she's like, you know, and there's like, I never noticed it. I sent them to some friends of mine. They're like, what's wrong with you? But to me, it's like dread. Like I'm always looking for threats and, don't have a lot of joyful expectation. Like that's a temperament thing for me. But the joyful expectation that it's the opposite is dread. Like I know it's going to be bad. And so that's what some of us struggle with from a temperament standpoint more than others, but everybody has the offer of hope. Other things that are challenges. Yes. Yeah. Andy.
One thing, you know, praise the Lord, my kids are doing well, but there's an old adage, you can't be happier than your unhappiest child.
Yeah.
You see your kids going through something difficult.
Great point.
You know, it can really shake and rock the world. I know there's a lot of people in the class.
Yeah.
As a parent, I think it's impossible to not.
Yeah, that's a great point. Right. Yes. That is definitely a category that can feel hopeless. There are others, and we'll think of them. Financial fears, national fears, just diminishing, physical diminishing, losses of people and things. I was thinking when I was young and looking for threats, I was afraid I would never get certain things, I think. And then you hit a certain age, my fears are about losing. Like, okay, I've got this, is that retirement going to be enough? You know, I'm afraid of losing. And that is just, that's just me. But I think a lot of us have, you're losing your fears of all that. Mom's verse, she quoted it till the very last. The outer man is decaying, but the inner man is renewing every day. And that's such a, that's the undercurrent of this whole thing. But all that to say, you know, thinking about hope, the Bible has a lot to say about it. Psalms has a lot to say about it. So what I'm going to do is Psalm 33. So if you'll turn to Psalm 33, at the last, about the last 10 verses or 8 verses are about hope, but we'll ease into that. But Psalm 33. So let me just read it and then we'll go through it. So Psalm 33. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance despite all its great strength. It cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Okay, lots to cover there. I listened to a talk this week from a Wheaton professor who said, Psalm 33 is a praise psalm, and those are typically broken into three sections. Very simple. The call to praise God, why we praise God, and our hope is in God. Okay, straightforward. But I really like that categorization. Here in Psalm 33, those first three verses, the call to praise by singing. Here's a theological tidbit, I guess you'd call it that, but it's something that over the years reading Psalms, you would come across these things. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. Okay, so there's tons of that, the promises to the righteous. And you just have this, you have to go through the process of, well, I mean, is that talking about me? I mean, am I righteous? And we know that through Christ. But Philippians 3:9 that says, not a righteousness that comes from ourselves, but comes through the Son of God. So it, again, it's just that I have that scribbled all through Psalms when there's a promise about the righteous. I'm like, that's me because of Philippians 3:9 and, 2 Corinthians 1:20 that says, all the promises of God are yes. You remember that passage? Are yes and amen in Christ. So it's just that I love that. I heard Piper say that years ago, that these promises in the Old Testament, you're like, yeah, but was for Israel. No, that is for us sitting in this room through Christ. Just a reminder, nothing new there. but a reminder. So the idea of singing, actually one of my daughters was quoting something that they heard recently. What you sing is your theology. That's the Beatles. But what you sing is your theology. Is that an interesting quote? And we're so blessed. I was going to have, if I had been here a couple of weeks ago, I was going to teach this and have John Haynes give us a little piece of this on, the theology of singing, and we will make that happen. He's kind of shy. So if I can get him, right, Hunter? He doesn't like to talk about this guy. But we will make that happen. It's going to be great. But anyway, that's a challenge. But that whole section, just the section about the singing, you focus on what you're singing. And, another phrase that I heard recently is that we may not know the what about our situation, or definitely the why or the how, but we can know the who. So we know the who. We're focusing by singing. You're focusing on the who, and that is of course the Lord, and that is who we praise. And so as we focus on him, verses 4 and 5, these are the things about him that we focus on. It's just his goodness. The word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. So right, true, faithful. Those are such amazing qualities. We know we can trust, and he loves justice and truth. If we were going to know he's going to do what he wants to do, but he's not, doesn't love justice and truth, that's not hopeful, but we know he loves what's perfect. And I love verse 5. It may say steadfast love in your translations or loving kindness, but I like NIV is unfailing love. His unfailing love. This is used in the Psalms about 30 times, 3 times in this Psalm, unfailing love. How great is that? We've just been through Valentine's with a lot of cards and a lot of things that promise unfailing love. I'm familiar with someone whose high school girlfriend, they were super committed to each other. They went to different colleges. They committed to each other, unfailing love. And then she fell in love with a guy at that college. It's the guy that unloaded her car. The unfailing love lasted about 15 minutes. So often human love, you know, but so how great is it that God has unfailing love. I mean, he is faithful. What's the verse? He is faithful even when we're not faithful. It's in 1 Timothy, as you might know. I should have looked that up, right? I'm teaching. I should have looked that up. Not asking. It's a classic John moment. But I love that, because in that section in Timothy, it's like, we are to be faithful because he is faithful. And then it immediately says, he is faithful when we are not faithful. It's a great, great promise. So again, this is why to praise God. God is good, and then God is great. It's like backwards of the God is great, God is good. But God is good. He's got those good, beautiful qualities, and he backs it up with this unbelievable power, this verses 6 through 15, that creation power, where he, by his word, the heavens were made. The starry host, you know, we've all had those experiences camping or somewhere. Ours, the one that really struck me, we spent the night at a lighthouse off of the coast of Maine. It was great. It was beautiful. We were the only people out there. It was like a bed and breakfast. The house itself looked like Amityville Horror. And then you had the lighthouse, but it was gorgeous. So that night was a clear night, and the stars were just, you know what that does to you? Like that's just that spectacular thing that just lifts your soul. And that's what I thought about when I read his creation power that the sea, even there, he's revered in all the world. Verse 9, the power of his word, for he spoke and it came to be, commanded and it stood firm. So much about the word, like his word is right and true. In the beginning was the word, this idea of communication and power when he speaks. And so the power of his word and his purposes never fail. It says that the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart throughout all generations. That's fantastic. And it's so meaningful to us, because what is his purpose for us? We're talking about joyful expectation. That only counts if he has a good purpose for us. And I always think, Tim was here, I always think of him with the Jeremiah 29:11, the plans that I have for you for welfare and not calamity, and how that, Tim does a great job talking about how that worked out in his life, but we all have testimonies like that. That is the testimony. It's his purpose. And so the fact that he has all power to bring about his purpose means we can have joyful expectation, because he is going to bring it about. The other thing I like in that section, before we get specifically into hope here in the last 5 minutes, is that from verse 13, from heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He forms the hearts of all and considers everything they do. So that feels so much. And in verse 18, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. It feels very personal. Like he formed our hearts. If little John has a temperament that's, looking out for threats and worried about things, that's a temperament thing. He formed our hearts and he knows it. He is not despairing because I just can't do anything with that temperament. He's not that. He knows that he loves us, and he, whatever temperament, there's 100 temperaments in here. Those specific things that are just your consistent obstacle to hope. He loves, he's watching, he's working in those specific things. So, feels very personal. He considers us. So that's him. That's in whom we hope. And then the rest of this is a call to hope in God. But it starts with the no king is saved by the size of his army. It starts with vain hopes, right? That's a big deal, because we kind of choose what we hope in. So, we've talked a little bit about it, but any other thoughts? Like, what are things that we tend to put lots of hope in?
Ourselves.
Ourselves. Okay. That covers a lot. Yeah. Yeah. But hope in heaven, that's fantastic. And we should do that. What about false hopes? Like maybe that would. Political parties. 100%. The economy. Yep. Yeah. This talk that I was hearing from this Wheaton professor said, we like to trust in things we can see and, you know, our own best efforts. We tend to build our identities and hopes on what we are proud of or good at. That's true. But all of those things are limited and temporary. Finances, people, talents, brains, looks, our nation, our church. We are to hope, not in those. Somebody used this summary of, it's not that we don't trust in people. Like we need to trust in people. But final confidence. Our final confidence should not be in our nation, in our friends or whatever. It's the final confidence that we're talking about. So the end is that we are to hope in him. And that's that, those great verses, starting really at 18. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver from death, keep alive in famine. We wait and hope. These are, you can look at the things we're to do in the hope, like we're to wait, we're to rejoice, we're to trust. We put our hope, we trust, we, the waiting is a hard one. That's really such a hard one because God is, I think Glenn Draper said at one point, he is always on time, but rarely early. And we want early. So, so there's your focus. And that's the things that make us hopeless are real and they're hard. We've heard some today as we pray, but God is real. We need to spend time getting to know. We pray that the eyes of our heart will be enlightened to know him better. And this made me think when things get real, right? And I've had two conversations recently with ones I told y'all a little bit about, a great young guy who followed Christ till he was probably almost 40, I guess. Then something happened and he turned away from the Lord. And now he's just fine with it. We had a great talk. He's a great guy, but he's fine with not having the Lord. He's like, I don't believe it anymore. And so instead of arguing with him, I said, is there anything you miss about the evangelical, about your faith? And he immediately said, community. Isn't that interesting? That was the first thing, not truth, not heaven. He said, community. I thought, okay, then that's a real thing. And it's hard to generate that. There's not a lot of, atheist agnostic groups. There are some, but we do that well. So community. And the other thing with another young guy that I've been talking a lot with, that he grates against certainty. So when I tell him, I do think that these things were written that you may know that you have eternal life. That verse, he battles against the certainty. So when I was thinking of things we hope in, it just dawned on me that it was a year ago, I got diagnosed with cancer and it's going, things are going well, but boy, that first diagnosis, I was glad I had really two things. And one was community. I could come in here and felt the love, and you guys poured love on us and still have all that community. We didn't have to come start generating a community. So glad I have that. And then his word, the word becomes so real in times like that. And this verse that I had underlined before that, but it says, so I have cancer in my eye. If you weren't here, I had to have this eye radiated for 96 hours. Vision is leaving. But you just have to sit there for 96 hours in the hospital in a radioactive ward with this thing. And it was fine, but it's just so disorienting in life. And so this verse, Isaiah 42:16, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. 42:16. And so again, okay, hope that I will not forsake them. These are things I will do. If not on earth, in heaven. We do have the ultimate hope. We have the ultimate hope, the restoration, the heavens and new earth. So thankful for y'all, thankful for community, and thankful for the certainty of the word of God. Mm-hmm. Anything before we close?
Your friend was saying that faith is 40 instead of lost.
Yeah.
Frank used to say, if in the end your faith fizzles, it's faulty from the start.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder.
I know.
The Christian had a fellowship.
Right. That is a great point, and I do wonder if that's if that situation where he is miserable, but he's also still young relative to me, so he may. We are communicating, and I've asked him to send me anything he wants me to read, and I send him things. And
he never told you why he had lost
it. He didn't. He couched it in terms of intellectual. Getting involved, talking to people, but I'm not so sure there wasn't an emotional, relational something. I don't know that, but it feels weird that you would just.
That's a good point. You may not have faith.
Right. I agree. And you don't know. And that's certainly biblical, but I'm not. We're praying and talking.
That first you read the legend.
Isaiah 42:16. Yeah. Great verse for anyone. Okay, well let's pray. Father, we are we're thankful, Lord. We didn't generate this idea of Christian community. We didn't generate the Word of God. We are just only dependent on you coming into our lives and giving us truth, opening our eyes, enlightening us to the truth. And so we thank you for that. We're humbled by it. Pray that we would follow it, find hope in you, get our eyes off the other stuff, Lord, and find hope in you and share that with others. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.